Brethren, let's open with the use of hymn number 345. 345, please remain seated for all the verses. And let's see. Brother Christie, would you open our meeting with prayer? Yes. You could probably stay there unless you want to come forward. I think there's a mic. 345.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before Thee at this time to give You thanks and to praise Your holy name for all Thy goodness unto all mankind, for all Thy goodness unto us, for the gift, the most wonderful gift, Your Son, in whose name we present ourselves here before Thee to give You thanks for allowing us to sing Your wonderful hymn of praise. To thank You for opening our minds to this wonderful understanding of Thy plan. We ask Your blessing to be with the little ones and with our hearts today, so we might honor Your name as we can with our tongues, with our lips, with our thoughts and hearts. Ask Your blessing to be with all Thy people everywhere. In Jesus' name. We pray all this. Amen.
Thank you. Well, this afternoon has felt like a flock of geese swimming. Have you ever seen a goose or a duck swimming on the surface? They look calm and everything's going okay, but then you take a picture of underneath the water and those little feet are going like crazy. That's kind of what it's felt like this afternoon. And as far as that goes, timing is a totally unknown factor here. We don't know how long this is going to take, so please be lenient if we go a little bit over. We tried to start early. But before we get into our Vesper service, the children have a gifts for you. And we'd like to start out by having our toddler group, Aris, Daniel, Naomi, and Abby, come up and sing a song. This is their gift to the ecclesia. Everyone has a little different gift. So let's have our toddler group come up. And maybe we can get them over there by the microphone. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you. Can we just do that for an hour? And next we have Marnie is going to do a reading for us. And Marnie and her mom have a PowerPoint that will go along with the reading.
Good night, baby Jesus. Good morning, little lamb playing the fields. Are you? We ready to share a wonderful day? Good morning, Joseph, a carpenter, good and just. Good morning, Mary, blessed young among women. Mary will have a baby, the Son of God, who will bring peace and joy to the world. Greetings, shepherds, attending to your flocks. Good afternoon, little donkey carrying Mary to Bethlehem. Hello, innkeeper without any room for Mary and Joseph. Greetings, stable behind in the inn, and the only place for Mary and Joseph tonight. Good evening, bright star in the east, shining so brightly above Bethlehem. Greetings, wise man, following the star in the search of the new baby unborn. Good evening, animals in the stable, and good evening, geese. Hello, horse. Hello, golden ox. Hello, pigeons and turtle doves. It's nice to see you, shepherds, with tidings of good news and great joy. Good night, wise men, with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, for the new baby whose name is Jesus. Good night, Mary. Good night, Joseph. Good night, baby Jesus. Thank you for a wonderful sharing a wonderful day. Glory to the God in the highest on earth, the peace and good and will toward all.
Thank you, Marnie. And next is Elias Condit. There you are. Are you going to change the slides, Elias? You've got slides? Oh, yeah, you do. How will I know when to change the slides? Okay, well, you do your thing, and I'll try to figure it out. Oh, you want to explain it? Okay, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Elias Condit, and my gift is about strength. This is me at home spelling the word love. I'm doing the first one. I'm doing LC. Then I'm just crunching up like a ball. So for O. Then I'm just kind of hanging upside, like laying on the ground with my feet up in shape of a V. Then I'm sitting. And one arm in front of me and one on top.
Okay, for the E, very good. Next one?
For the, I had bars and I was holding on to them, so it would kind of look like a T. I'm not sure about the H. My dad just told me to just.
It's
do
close
that.
Enough. Okay.
LC'd again. Crouched up again. For R, I stood up and put my arms in front of me, then curved my hands a little bit. Then for D, I kind of sat on my knees. Then bent back to touch and put my hands to touch my feet.
I noticed the D, you're wearing glasses. Is the D hard to see? Is that why? Okay.
I had to lay on my head with my knee, and I had my knees on the ground, my feet sticking up, and my legs sticking up. I did a handstand. The T, I did the bars again. And the H, I still don't
There's
know.
That H again.
kind of partially did the splits with my hands up. I did two L seats.
Okay.
I was just told to lift myself up a little bit. Crouched up again for O. I did laid on my back, put my feet up and put my hands up. Then for R, I did the same thing. Like,
okay. Ooh.
Strength. Thanks. S, I had to like kind of squat and put my hands in front. T, bars lifting up, R, the same thing as usual. E, same thing as usual. N, I did a bridge. G, I did like a frog pose. T, I did the bars and lift myself up. And still H, I don't know.
You know, so far H is my favorite one. Oh, that was it. And what does it all say together?
No.
Read the whole thing to us all at once. Should we go back?
It says love.
Come on, there we go. Okay.
Love the Lord with all your strength.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Okay, 1 second here while we change. 1 second. Okay, this is going to just go black here. Okay, let's see. That was number two. Number three is Elia Krishan. She's going to play the piano for us. Oh, okay. It says piano painting on my sheet, but it also says drawing. You have a drawing?
She has drawing.
Oh, a drawing. Okay, let's see your drawing. Gotcha.
This is Jesus reading the Bible to the kids in the kingdom.
Oh, thank you. Okay, number four is Amanda Hosu. She's got a diorama for us. Ooh, this is going to be good. I can just tell.
When we were deciding the project and I was giving options to the girls, and Amanda's like, what's a diorama? So we Googled it and I gave her some example images, and she's like, oh, I know what I want to do. And she knew right away what she wants to do. So Amanda, tell the brethren what you did.
Elijah.
And what is so special about Elijah? Why is Elijah here at the brook? What happened?
God bring him here.
And why did God put Elijah at the brook? What did Elijah tell King Baal?
There'll be no dew, no rain.
And so God sent Elijah to the brook. And why did he send him there?
For food and water.
And was he able to get food from the animals? Or how did he find his food?
The animals bring him food. Raven.
And then what happened once the brook dried up? Where did Elijah go then?
He asked God, and he went to this poor widow.
What's a widow, Amanda?
A girl that has no husband.
Very good. And what did the widow give Elijah then?
Some little bit of some cake.
Cake. She made bread, right? And was there a lot of flour and a lot of oil, or did she have just a little?
A little bit of flour and a little bit of oil.
And how did that stuff keep... How did she make so much food for them?
Always the little bit of flour and the little bit of oil would always still be there. Because from God.
So for how long was the famine without water and dew?
Over 3 years.
And Amanda, why is this story so important to you? Why, what, this example of a story, what does it tell you?
So interested in God, to trust in God, and He will take care of you.
Thank you, Amanda. I really like the way Amanda was helping her mom with all those questions, you know? Amanda's the answer girl. Now we have Jonathan Mazera with a picture that he sent to us. That's not it. Thought I had it. Wait a second, that's the wrong one. Hold on a second. There it is.
I love the Romanian studies because I get to play with my friends during the study.
Yeah, that was always my favorite part of coming to the meetings, too. I got to play with my friends. Okay, now we have Summer Whitaker. She has a poster for us. And Sadie are coming up together. A nativity scene 3D poster. Wow, it's electronic.
Here,
What did you make, Summer?
Bethlehem and baby Jesus in the manger.
And why is it so special to you? Sadie, do you want to say?
No.
Summer?
Because without Jesus, we wouldn't be here right now.
Thank you.
Very nice. Thank you. Next, we have Justin. You're going to do a reading and piano, right? Is he doing reading first? Okay.
Today, I would like to play two songs for you on the piano, We Three Kings and Haktikva. We Three Kings is about the three wise men following the Star of Wonder to Bethlehem, where they found Jesus and gave him gifts. Haktikva is the national anthem of Israel, and it reminds me of Jerusalem, which will be the capital city in the kingdom. I can't wait for the kingdom.
Thank you. Thank you, Justin. Your mom could not have done that without you. Next, we have Estera. I think she's playing the piano, you said? Okay. Estera, what song are you playing? Hatikva. Oh, I think I've heard that. Estera, that was beautiful. You ever notice how Bible student meetings often take on a Jewish flavor? I think our kids are sensing that. Next, we have Jacob Felicki. He's going to play a couple of songs with the viola. Jacob, can you give us the title for the songs?
Yeah, I'm playing
What was the second one?
The Two Grenadiers.
The Two Grenadiers is the second one, and Ode to Joy is the first one.
Oh, no, I'm doing it in a reverse order.
The other way around.
Yeah.
Just play them. That's okay. That's good. Hold on. We got a music stand. Oh. Thank you, Jacob. Thank you. That was great. And now we have Alyssa Hack playing the piano for us. And what song are you playing for us, Alyssa? What song is she playing, Mom?
Silent Night.
Silent Night. All right. Are you singing for us, Michelle? Oh, she's singing and playing? Whoa. Rock star. Let's see some of you hit that note. She really did good. Okay, Theron is next. And Theron, what are you playing for us?
Joy to the World.
Are you singing? No, just playing. Smart man. Okay. Thank you, Theron. You remember this morning during Brother Chris's talk, there was a third song he didn't play for us. That was it. Sorry we ran out of time, but we're glad to hear it now. Thank you, Theron. Excellent. Now, the last one is hot off the presses. It just got handed to me, so I have to find it somewhere. Hold on a second. Let me just... This is Megan. Hold on a second here. There it is. Megan presentation. That must be it. There it is. I don't want that. Come on. Okay, Megan, can you come up and explain this for us? Sure. Oh, there's more than one.
Yeah. Hey, Megan, what did you choose for your gift?
I chose the story of Moses.
And is that one of your favorite stories?
Yes.
Okay, so what's happening in this first picture?
It's baby Moses, and it's when he got sent into the river in the basket. Sorry. The next one is with Moses when the princess finds him and takes him out of the river. The next one is when Moses is grown up and when he kills the Egyptian. And this one is with Moses when he is like fleeing Egypt and he finds the, I think, like village of Midian. So then the next one is like where Moses is in kind of his new life as a shepherd and stuff. And then Moses, he finds the burning bush, and God speaks to him about delivering his people from Egypt. Then Moses, he goes back to Egypt to take his people and God's people out of slavery. This one is with the first five plagues, with the water is turned to blood, the frogs, then like gnats, and then
flies.
The flies, and then the death of the cattle or sickness. Mm. the sixth one is with the boils, then the hail and lightning, and then we have the locusts and the darkness, and then the death of the firstborn. This one is with Moses and the people. They're leaving Egypt and going into the wilderness. And then the Egyptians, they come to like try to take back the slaves that are trying to leave. And then this one is with Moses, and he's parting the waters of the Red Sea, and they're getting ready to go through it. Which one's it? Then that one is with the people going through the water, and then the Egyptians are trying to follow them. Hmm. And then the water closes on them, and they all, like, drown. And then they're all free in the wilderness going to the promised land.
That's it. Thank you very much. Thank you, Megan. I hear that they're looking for Bible class teachers. I think you're almost ready for that. That was outstanding. Thank you. Now the kids have one more gift that they want to give to everyone. So as they are doing that, I will get ready for the next section here.
So we wanted to kind of put together a gift from the kids to you guys that you guys get to take home and hang up on your refrigerator and see us the rest of the year. So
you know what you could have done is put all the kids' birthdays on that calendar. Darn. Well, thank you, children, for those gifts. I'm sure the brethren all appreciate the effort you put into it. It's good to be part of a bigger family than just your immediate family. And so I think all the brethren feel that you're part of their family as well. Can we get the lights when you have an opportunity? Of course, this is a time of year for gift giving. I think in the midst of the busyness that this season always brings, we want to take time out to appreciate the gifts that God has given each of us. And we want to thank him for those gifts. And I know sometimes December is so busy with convention and family things that we tend to forget. You know, I think for Bible students, life is kind of a contradiction. You want to do as much as you can in the Lord's service, but then there's times you should just stop and think and reflect, and so they kind of go against each other. But one of the great gifts that we have is life itself. Life can be very precious, and I think we often take it for granted when we're young and strong and healthy. But then as we get older, the reality of life sets in, and we know that really for us today, life is very short, and often it's filled with pain and struggle. The simple pleasures that we took for granted as children are replaced by the aches and pains of growing older in the few short years that we have here. But I think we all take great comfort in the truth, that the insight that the truth gives us, that God has in store for all of creation an extended life beyond anything that we can imagine. We often quote this. In fact, I think it was Brother Aaron who quoted Romans 8 this morning, and I think it's becoming one of my favorite passages of Scripture, and I love it from the Phillips translation. It says, "The whole creation is on tiptoe to see the wonderful sight of the sons of God coming into their own. The world of creation cannot as yet see reality, yet it has been given hope. And the hope is that in the end, the whole of created life will be rescued from the tyranny of change and decay and have its share in the magnificent liberty which can only belong to the children of God." I love that. You know, when we see tyranny and we think of that word, we see that the tyranny of change and decay is all around us. Of course, there is the natural decay that happens in the aging process that we all are experiencing. But we also see it in the decay of society. Tyranny is a word that's filled with cruelty and hate. It creates a world of ever-increasing darkness, especially for people who have more oppression in this world than others. And you know, it's not just people who suffer from tyranny. The animal kingdom has been mistreated in horrible ways. You know, we often speak of man's inhumanity to man, but there is also man's inhumanity to the animal world. When the Apostle Paul said that all creation looks in hope for the manifestation of the sons of God, we have to say that that's got to include the animal world that so many of us love to be around and have with us. You know, those of you who have pets know this, that there's an instinctive quality of loyalty that our pets have. And they've suffered from the same diseases and mistreatments that mankind has experienced. And so it will be all of creation, not just mankind, but all of creation will come out of darkness into the liberty that God will bring in his kingdom. The darkness of the world around us causes good people to hope for a better day, even when they don't know specifically what they're hoping for. They're hoping for a better time, a time of peace and prosperity and health and abundant life. That's what the normal world, civilized world, is hoping for. And as we all know, that can only happen through the kingdom of God. After the expulsion from the Garden of Eden, the hope for a better life was very dim. It was difficult to see that anything good could come out of that. But as time passed, it became brighter as mankind was given little glimpses into what God had in store for them. And someday that darkness will end, and there will be only light, there will be only truth, there will be only goodness. That's the hope that God has given us a right to believe in. You know, the last Herald magazine was dedicated to hymns written by brethren. And if you don't have a copy, you should get one because it's really neat. I always enjoy reading the words of hymns that brethren write because I know they're writing from a biblical perspective. These are the words that Brother David Duran put to music regarding the hope that Jesus' birth brought into the world. "Sweet children, hark to the silent night, to the eve when men seek the star's bright light. This night, so laden with hope sublime that it bears men's dreams from all of time. For this is the night that the child was born, who will rule with peace and leave death forlorn. This is the night, that made shepherds sing to think of all that his reign will bring. Though centuries pass in darkness drear, yet the hope is strong and the message clear. The morn will come when the dead will rise and the earth will fill with joyous cries. For this is the night that the child was born, who will rule with peace and leave death forlorn. This is the night that made shepherds sing to think of all that his reign will bring. We'd like to sing that hymn together, and we're going to ask our sisters to play the melody through once for us, and then we'll sing the two verses. That. Well, the night of our Savior's birth, of course, was naturally one of the most significant nights in human history. In fact, it was one of the most significant nights in the history of the universe, because his life and death here on earth are going to pave the way for all future work that God has planned in the universe. Jesus, along with his bride, will be the instrument that God uses to expand life to all corners of creation. And so really, as we honor that night, as the night that Jesus was born to be our Savior, we also honor it as the beginning of bringing abundant life, not only to this world, but to all worlds to come. There's a contemporary Christian song written, and I'm just going to read the words. It's called Jacob's Star. It says, a fire, a light, a shining star, a sign to those who journey far, a token from the King of Heaven, a beacon burning in the night, a star to echo endless light. A darkened world, a light from a stable, and high above the heavens ablaze. A star will rise from Jacob's house, a scepter out of Israel. And though thou art the least in Judah, or thee, O Bethlehem, his light will shine. A light of hope to everyone, a light outshining every sun. A light the world has not comprehended, a light that is this holy babe. Of course, when we speak of the gifts that God gives, we see that they're just too numerous to count. His plan has been and will yet be the light of hope of our race. The seeds of hope were first planted with ancient promises. They grew more specific as the Old Testament prophecies, the types, the shadows were given. And then when the time was right, God gave us the most powerful reason to hope when he sent his son to be the light of the world. You know, when you think about Jesus' ministry, it was amazingly short. But that cast the light of truth down the corridors of time for all time. And you know, even if Jesus was not our Savior, look at how his brief 3.5-year ministry has changed the world. You know, but that's almost an inappropriate thing to say about Jesus. Because had he not come from God, he could not have done what he did or convey the light that he brought. Because of God's authority, Jesus came to be the scepter out of Israel to judge the world in righteousness. When we hear that phrase, the judgments of God, the world quakes. But we don't, because we know that judgments will be righteous and good and have a healing effect on the world. And because he came from God, that little town of Bethlehem, significant of all the unknown little places and corners of the world, will become prominent and will be a blessing to those who live here. Yes, the world has not comprehended the light that he brought yet. But we know that they will in God's due time. And then all living things will raise a song of heartfelt thanks to a Savior willing to die for us and to a God willing to plan for us. We'd like to join our voices together in singing a hymn entitled, "Let All Things Now Living." I think we know this one well enough. We'll just have a brief introduction and then we'll sing it together. Aww. Thank you. the time when all the world is going to be able to sing those words from their very heart. We'd like to close this short Vesper service, not by singing a hymn together, but by listening to a hymn sung for us. This is a hymn entitled Wonderful, Merciful Savior. And we'll see if the audio works. If it doesn't, we'll start over. Sometimes when we talk about the miracles that Jesus did, we talk about them from an intellectual point of view, that they were evidences of who he was, that they were samples of what was going to come in the kingdom. And those are all right. But I think Jesus took special joy when he saw someone suffering, and he knew that he had the ability to help right then and there. His tender, compassionate heart loved blessing others and bringing them to the light. I think that was one of his great joys when he came to earth. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Think of those words that Jesus uttered. As great as his miracles were, you and I will be able to do more, greater, more abundant, better, because they will lead to everlasting life, all because he came, suffered, died, and went to the Father to satisfy justice. What an incredible honor lays ahead for us if we're faithful unto death, to be associated with him and the immense work that's coming for us, to be a channel that we can give the gifts of God to mankind. We'd like to close now. If we could have the lights back on and the microphone. Brother Jack, would you close our meeting for us, please? Let's bring a microphone to you. Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, we, with gratitude, bow before you this the close of this day and give you thanks abundantly. We are so privileged to know what we know and to have the fellowship and the love of the brethren around us. We ask for your continual guidance, dear Father, in our lives, that whatever we think, whatever we say, whatever we do, would be to your greater glory and honor. And we thank you for that unspeakable gift and your Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, that not only has given us life, but will give the whole world life. Words cannot adequately express our gratitude. We now ask for your blessing, dear Father, to be with us this coming week, and we ask for all these favors and prayers through your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.